Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Happy birthday, Rashida.
Happy birthday, Lauren. Woo-hoo. We are here. Yes. How are you feeling? Because this is a special birthday for you.
I feel good. I'm turning 40 on March 29th. And I don't think it feels like what I thought it would feel like when I was younger, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember, like, especially growing up in the Midwest, like, I think I was probably in middle school or high school when, like, everyone's parents were turning 40, you know, because they all had us young. Right. So it just seemed like ancient, you know, like dorky, like just
not cool. Like, what are you even doing? Are you going to, like, die tomorrow or something?
Yeah. Like, I remember my friend, her mom turned 40. And there was, like, a sign in her house that said, "Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40. And we'd say it all the time.
Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40.
We thought it was so funny. And it's, like, over the hill and gray hair. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm 40. And, like, just finally feeling like an adult.
Finally starting to get my life together at 40. I have a question, though. I thought over the hill was 50. When is over the hill?
You know what?
What does it even matter, right?
Like if we're looking at life as a bell curve, we just don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I always say 108, so I think my top of the hill is 54.
Okay. So 55, you're over the hill. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, you know, for my human design, I think for my life path, like, six, is that what it's called? The numbers? I'm 6'2".
Mm-hmm, your life path number.
Yeah. You don't even really, like, hit your stride until you're in your 50s for that.
Which is crazy to think.
Yeah. It's cool.
But also, like, cool because you're mm-hmm. like, it's only uphill from here. Like, yeah. I am still moving forward.
Well, that's how I feel. It feels good. Like, I don't know. I'm at a point in my life where I feel really grateful for everything that I have, you know, and I feel mm-hmm. like, are there things I want to do or accomplish? Yes. But I'm kind of feeling at the point where I'm also
pretty content, like,
satisfied in a lot of ways. Yeah. And that feels different.
To, like, be just okay. Like, I'm good here.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, like, I've always been, I think, run by this sense of, like, discontentedness in a way.
Well, I also think, too, like, being a mother also has something to do with that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
You want to, like, savor the different mm-hmm. stages of it and not rush through any part of your kid's childhood. Or I don't, you know. So, yeah, I think for me it feels good. I'm excited for my 40s and I don't know. It's funny. I like reading Reddit. For me, for, like, social media or anything like that, I'm a lurker. I don't participate a lot. But I belong to a sub called Millennials. And people are, like, constantly complaining about being old and their health and, like, the world and all of this. And I know a lot of things were hard, like, for our generation. But, like, I really don't identify with a lot of that.
I don't either.
I'm like, I'm healthier now than I was in my 20s. You know, I might have been a little, my body might have been able to tolerate all the shit I was doing to it a little bit better then. But yeah, I don't wish to go back there. And I feel like my life has gotten better and better. So I don't know.
Well, I think that also has to do with, like, what path you're on. Are you on your path or are you not on your path? And if you're not on your path, things are going to feel harder. Things are going to feel like you're literally pushing a boulder up. You're in a job that mm-hmm. you're not meant to be in, but you're in because someone says you have to work for 30 years and you get a 401k and these benefits, but it's going against what your soul wants. Then then of course, of course at 40, you're going to feel like you're older and you're sicker and you're, because your body, your soul is literally trying to tell you,
get
let's
aligned.
Examine this. Yeah. Yeah. Being out of like, go ahead.
Oh, you're turning 38, right?
Yes, I am turning 38. Like, how old am I turning? Yeah, I'm turning 38.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited because I feel like by the time I am 40, things will be at a different space. But I'm really excited about the space. The kiddos are still really little. I am still like figuring things out as far as like family dynamic, learning what works. Maceiana is interesting. She's really testing me this year. And I am still learning so many things about myself and how I want to parent and just how I want to feel connected with her. So I know 38 is going to bring a lot more of those like parental observations. I'm not even going to say challenges because they're not challenges. They're just observations. But as far as everything else, I just feel more aware of myself. I feel more of like, I know who I am. And it just feels really, really good. I feel more settled.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I feel like I can go on and on, but I just feel really good. I feel like I'm at that place where I'm not really given two fucks about what anyone thinks, you mm-hmm. know? And I am really stepping into like who I'm meant to be through like connecting and nurturing and being that person with people. So, and also like being okay that I can do whatever I want, obviously within reason, but there is no cap. There is no limit. I don't have to wait for permission to create the life that I want. And that's awesome to feel like that turning 38.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if part of the cringe when you're a teenager looking at people in their midlife or around this age is that thing, that like essence of not caring, you know, because mm-hmm. I know for me when I was a teenager and it seemed like everybody around me in school, like you care so much, like you live or die by other people's opinions, like popularity matters, like what other people think matters so much, and like kind of seeing everything somebody not matters. Care probably like is jarring.
Turned off. Or let's look at the flip side of that, seeing someone that still cares too much and you're just like,
yeah,
it's like probably a little overboard at that because they've been doing it their whole lives, you know,
for real. So yeah, I thought it would be kind of fun. So go ahead.
No. Go. Okay. Go.
I thought it would be kind of fun for our birthdays to give some advice to our younger selves. So
yeah,
besties, if you are a younger millennial or a Gen Z, maybe this is for you, or it really can be for anybody. If you're more like our age or older, you might think about like what you might say to your younger selves. So I was thinking about me like when I was turning 20, so half of my life ago. And at this point in my life, okay, I'd just dropped out of college for the first time. I was going to UMKC, which is a university in Kansas City, for dance, and I dropped out. I started just like working full time at a job I didn't like, and I think I had just met a boyfriend, and we were like planning our move to Chicago in the fall. I definitely still was dealing with anxiety and depression, eating disorder, and really just, I think, starting to feel a little more free to discover who I was at this point and like needing the space from home to do so. But definitely like, yeah, a whole different person it feels like at times. So that's like who I'm talking to. Rashida, where were you at that age?
Yeah, as you were talking, I was like, oh, where was I at 2020? I also had dropped out of my first college. I went to Hampton University. And Lauren, I think I shared this with you before. I grew up in a predominantly white area, predominantly white neighborhood, even after we moved from this small town. And going to an HBCU was life-changing for me. Being around people who I identified with, who looked like me, who was about learning, who it wasn't like this weird thing to like want to do well in school. Like it just rocked my world. However, I was on the path to be a nurse and I did not want to do that. Like it just was not my thing. So I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. I was serving tables. And I was also like temping. And I was just like living life at this point. I was going to bars because I was with people who were of age and I was just blowing money at this point. Was living my best little 20-year-old life. I felt like I was the shit. I was on top of the world. But I was not complete. Like if I'm being really honest, I didn't feel complete. I didn't feel like the person that I was portraying myself to be. I wouldn't necessarily call it depression, but there was just something that seemed a little off at this age. And I didn't really want to think about it. So I started getting into things that allowed me to not think about it. So that's where I was at that age.
Yeah, I can identify with a lot of that. Yeah, I think with the things that I'm going to say, all like, I'm talking to you, little you too, not just little me, and probably a lot of universal experience for young adults around that age. So I wrote down like 5 things. We'll see what we can get to. And I'd love to know what yours are too. Yeah. But I'll start with my first point, and it's this. There is no timeline to follow. There is no timeline to follow. I thought there was. I thought there was my whole childhood. I thought there was my whole teenage years. I thought there was as I was like fumbling my way through my 20s and not following this timeline whatsoever. I tried, right? Like I said, when I was 20, I had just dropped out of my first college. And, you know, part of that was I felt the pressure to go to college and I wasn't really emotionally or mentally ready, even though I was academically gifted, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I felt like such a failure and such a loser, you know, that I couldn't figure it out and get it together. And I would just go back and say, like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to go to college. You don't have to graduate college by a specific age. You don't have to like get married and have kids. You don't have to do any of that. This is your life. The template that you were given is just a template, and you can go outside of it as much as you want or need to. Not only that, like, but to look at examples of other people who are living outside of the norm, because they're everywhere. There are so many people who don't follow that specific path. I just didn't really know of them at that point, you know? So that's number one for me.
Yeah, let's go back and forth because I think it's so funny that was yours. Mm-hmm. My number one was you don't have to have it now. Enjoy this journey. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of feel like is almost the same. But for me, when I was really thinking about this, I was thinking about the fact that my parents and my grandparents, they wanted me to, you know, go to college and get this amazing job so that I could, you know, have this life. And if I just stuck to it, you know, I'd have everything I needed like right now. And I could, you know, at 22, 23, be on this path to success and, you know, have the things that I want, have the cars that I want, have all these things. And at 37, almost 38 now, I look back, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to commit, and I don't have to have those things right now. I don't have to do it right now. Now, yes, is all we have, but at the same time, now is all you have. And if you're doing things that you're not finding enjoyment, then what's the point? You're living someone else's life. So that's what I thought about, and really like telling myself to enjoy this journey, because when I think back on all the ups and downs of where I have been, where I am going, and like leading me to this very point, sitting here talking to you, like there's been so much joy in that, but there's been a lot of heartache because I would always think about what I didn't have right that moment.
you know, life feels so short when you're that age. Mm-hmm. Like it feels long because there's, it's all relative, but there isn't, and our brains aren't even developed for it quite yet, but there isn't that sense of like longevity and plan, like planning and delaying gratification. It's like, oh, I need to have it all right now.
Yes.
It's hard to explain now being older because it really does change. Because like, man, you're an adult most of your life, right? And
you are.
If you are lucky to live a long time, like it is a long, long life. Like it feels long. Like I have been an adult longer than I was a kid, you know? And yeah, you have a lot of time to figure things out and a lot of future to plan for. Mm-hmm. So I'll speak to that, I think, in some of my other points. But yeah, I love that. You don't have to have it all right now. You have a lot of time to figure it out and to figure out if that's even what you want. Like you said, exactly. That might be other people's idea of success is the car, is this and that. So yeah, I love that. How many did you do? I did 5.
Yeah, I got 5. Let's go through like what we can get through.
Okay. So my next one is, no one else can decide your worth or validate you. So I think that it's just this like knowing and embodiment of self-worth. Like it's something that no one can give to you or take away. And I forget who the author is, but I've been like hearing people have these talks lately about like the difference between self-worth and confidence, like self-confidence. And self-worth is like this just intrinsic knowing that you're enough. And confidence comes with like building skills and knowing that you're going to do well at them. Right. But you don't have to have confidence in any particular skills to have a sense of self-worth. And for me at this age, I was always looking to like, you know, my parents or to boys or to friends or to like societal standards to measure myself against. And I couldn't feel the worth that was inside of me already, you know. I think it's like we were talking about teenagers and people in their early 20s. Like, I think that's kind of part of the experience a lot of times. It's certainly part of like the culture, especially in like the school environment. But yeah, that's something I would definitely, I don't know how I'd even tell myself that, you know, cause it's something you have to feel, but I do feel like, yeah, you're born with this sense of worth and no one can take it away from you and no one can give it to you either.
Yeah, I like that. And I feel like you're absolutely correct. I think that is kind of like a learning experience. Like we can tell ourselves that, but just like any parent who tries to like save their kid from pain and heartache, like depending on the child and their personality, they're going to do the thing because they have to experience that for themselves. And, you know, when we look at human design, that's sometimes part of someone's design, you know, is to experience that and know that. I'm going to skip from my number 2, Lauren, because my number 3 kind of aligns with yours. Okay. I would have said to my 20-year-old self, you get to be your biggest fan and cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And for me, that pretty much means like you don't, yes, it's nice to like get that external validation and wanting other people to be like your fan or like cheer you on in what you're doing. But Rashida, you don't necessarily need someone. You get to be that for yourself. Mm-hmm. And being that for yourself, you can't let yourself down. I think that plays really well into your self-worth talk because we do have to have a little of that self-worth and that knowing mm-hmm. to be our biggest fan and cheerleader. So when I think about where I was at 20, I still wanted approval. I still wanted like my ideas to matter to my parents and for them to accept like what I was or was not doing with my life and for it to be okay. And granted, my mom never shamed me. She would just say things when I would come home like, oh, Rashida, my dear, you just still don't know what you want to do with your life, do you? And it wasn't harsh, but at the same time, at that age, it's like, why do you make me feel so bad? Like, no, I'm confused. And I just feel like I was given that space. I don't come from like any type of high pressure family where you have to go to college. It was expected, but I would say along with this, you get to be your biggest fan and cheerleader, but still take that space to, you know, follow what it is that's lighting you up as well.
Yeah, I think those are really aligned. I'm going to skip around too, because I think that my number five is like kind of one of the paths for me for that I've personally found. It's maybe a path to confidence too, but it's building self-trust. You can build self-trust by showing up for yourself in small ways every day. So when I was that age, I really had like,
so much.
Yeah, it's really been like one of my biggest lessons. I've always been an all or nothing kind of person. Like I'm going to go all in on this or I'm not going to do it at all. And that hasn't really served very well, you know? And instead it's like, no, you can chip away at something little by little. And you can show yourself in small ways that you're not going to betray yourself. Because I felt like I betrayed myself a lot, you know, from that age on. Like I would promise myself something and not do it. But oftentimes the promises were too big, you know, they're too much. So now, like, I can do 5 minutes of meditation every day, right? That's something I can do. And I know I'm going to do it. I trust that I'm going to do it because I have a well-established pattern of doing it. And if I have to miss it, I know I can get back to it, you know? And it might be that. It might be taking a walk. It might mean like eating a good breakfast. It might, you know, there are just so many, it might be like setting ways. A boundary. Like there are so many ways to show up for yourself, but it's like, what are the little things that you can do and build that trust and build that muscle? Because I think the more self-trust you have, the more you're able to like really feel your worth, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with like how you are saying that thing. Like it doesn't, I feel like when we talk about like a routine or building self-trust and doing this one thing and knowing that you're not going to go back on yourself, I love how you pointed out like this self-trust is a huge topic and it comes in many ways. Like our life is so multidimensional. There's so many aspects to our lives and we get to show up for ourselves in many, many, many different ways. And I agree with you. You know, when we find ourselves not, you know, doing the thing like, oh man, I said I was going to meditate this morning before I got up with the kids, and you get so defeated on yourself instead of finding that pivot, you know, hey, my kid goes down for a nap before I touch those dishes or before I, you know, start this laundry or do this one thing, I can take this time. This is still me showing up and committing to doing the thing. Or, you know what, instead of my meditation, I'm going to move my body for an extra 5 minutes a day because I have that scheduled in for my lunch. So I love how you said that. And I do agree with you. When you build that self-trust, you do have more self-worth. And that's really what like this stage is all about, you know, as we're going through and figuring this out is like, now at 18, you know, 18, we're sometimes just like kicked from the nest and we relied heavily on our parents to kind of help co-regulate us if we, depending on, you know, the relationship we had, if we had that. And then if we didn't, we had been figuring it out through this growing stage of coming to this fruition of 18. Now it's up to us to like really figure this part out. And I love how you said like finding those small ways throughout our lives to like show up for us and build that self-trust. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I know I'm saying like meditate or this and that now, those are just things like I'm pulling from my own life, but it's like, it could be, I'm going to make my bed every morning.
You know, that would not have been me.
Right. It seems just, it seems small, right? But like,
yes,
if you pick something that's kind of hard like that, what if you do that every morning? What else are you able to do?
No, I totally agree. And at 37, almost 38, I'm just going to say 38. Let's just go with that. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I will be 38. But I see the value in that. And it's also like a mindset thing. That's why things have to shift. Like in my 20s, I'm like, why am I going to make up my bed when I'm just going to get back in it? Like the aesthetic was not appealing to me. That feeling of like togetherness was not appealing to me. Now at 38, I'm like, ugh, I walk in the room and the bed's not made on Daniel's side. Like, ugh, why didn't he do that? Or me, like if I got sidetracked with the kids, like, oh, why didn't I make the bed this morning? I was the last one out. So it just feels weird. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really get that. And that's why between now and then, like our things are going to change. Like things are going to change in how we build that self-trust.
For sure.
Okay. I'm going to go back to my number two. I would tell myself, and it kind of like goes into maybe what we talked about before, but everything that lights you up is for a reason. I wish in school there is a human design class for kids because everyone is different and we know that. Our energy types are different, how we respond, how we act, what we do. And I was that kid that was into everything. I enjoyed doing so many things. And I was made to feel really bad about it. I mean, my senior year of high school, I was on the step team. I played soccer. I was in band. And I loved all of those things, Lauren. And growing up and becoming into my 20s, I also did the same thing. I had 2 to 3 different jobs. And I was in a soccer league. And I was doing these different things. And granted, it might have just seemed random, but I was following what interested me. And because I was doing that, there was a reason I was building skills in these things and allowing myself and not feeling guilty when I was 20 because I, quote unquote, couldn't make up my mind with what I wanted to do, accepting that path and just allowing it to take me wherever it led me. At 38, I really wish I could tell myself that at 20 to not feel guilty for wanting to like get the most I could out of life and to not feeling like settling down or having my thing. I was like, I just never know what my thing is. I just don't know what my thing is. And I always would beat myself up about that. But, you know, at 38, my thing is my thing. It's what lights me up in this moment as a manifesting generator. That's just who I am. And, you know, to love that part of myself. And it all comes back to like nurturing and connecting. Everything that I did always comes back to this, but in different ways. So I would totally tell myself everything that lights you up is for a reason.
Yeah, I love that. Also, like, not everything that we do needs to like make money or be part of our career. Like, it's totally okay to enjoy doing things for the sake of doing them.
Well, you know, at 20, I was doing that.
Yeah.
Now, as being older, I wouldn't say 38 now because I'm a lot better. But if I were to say like when I hit my 30s, I felt like everything I needed to do was to be my career. Like, that's just where the world works right now. Everyone's talking about quitting their jobs and making their side hustle become their main thing. And it's not like, it doesn't even have to be a hustle. Like, it could just be a passion project. It could just be you being creative. You know, you could love what you're doing, but still want to do this thing on the side that has nothing to do with your income. So I agree with you on that.
I think that's just part of our generation too, is like, you know, we've grown up through several financial catastrophes and many of us have debt, and you know, it's just a different day and age. Inflation so high that it almost feels like wasteful to be spending time on anything that isn't gaining income. But it eats at our souls, I think of everything that way. So yeah, anytime we can like really claim some time for ourselves is valuable and has an ROI that's just not financial, you know, or it might be financial in some way or another at some point down the line. I don't know.
I like how you said that though, Lauren, like the ROI, it doesn't have to be financial, like, but figure out what it is. Like, is it just bringing you joy? Is it just lighting you up for that moment? Is it allowing you to have like more connected time with your kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, like for me, there was financial ROI. It just didn't come right away. When I would always just look at like the failed educational attempts I had and like the different jobs. And to me, like, it was like looking at a bunch of puzzle pieces that I didn't know how to put together. But once I did kind of figure out my thing, I realized that everything had a purpose. It was all preparing me really for like entrepreneurship, because there are a lot of, like, you can't learn that in school. There are a lot of different skills from a lot of different areas that need to be put together for it. So, you know, maybe there is an ROI. I think there's so much to be said about following your joy. And I don't think it even matters what your like human design type is. Like, do things because they're joyful, you know, like just do it.
for sure.
I don't think that's bad advice for anybody. My next one is get financially smart. And because that is not something that I had at all. And, you know, it was different times. Like most of us had to just rely on our parents or what we learned in school. We couldn't just like hop on YouTube and learn about the stock market or about high yield savings accounts or, you know, whatever it might be. Like now, like Gemma has money. Like she doesn't know she does, but she has money. And like as she becomes older and gains a little more control over it, we're going to have systems set up for her. So some gets invested and some gets saved, some gets donated. You know, she's going to grow up with that just part of her consciousness, you know, and obviously she's her own person. So she'll make her own choices around it eventually. But I just had no idea about any of it and made really bad financial decisions based on, some negative influence, I think, in my life and just naivety and just not knowing any better. And I wish I didn't feel strong or empowered or like, even though I had a lot of academic success, I didn't feel smart enough in a way to like really harness finances. And I wish I could say like, hey, that $50 you made babysitting or that like $100 a week you're making at this little part-time job, like that can grow into something. And like you're under someone else's roof right now. Don't go to the mall and blow that whole paycheck. Like let's figure out, like spend some of it. Yeah, have fun. But like how do we save too? Yeah, I just wish I would have started a lot younger with that because it's been one of my biggest roadblocks in life and like spiritual roadblocks too, which I've talked about on the pod before, of just feeling so frozen when it came to money and finances. And it's left me with a tremendous amount of student debt and with low self-worth at times. So yeah, I wish I could have started my adult years just feeling more empowered in that way.
I think you're right when you first, thank you for sharing, because that's a very vulnerable topic. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that should be talked about. And I like when you brought up, you know, our parents probably did the best they could, but in their day and age, they didn't have all the resources that we have. I mean, hell, coming out at 18, we didn't have all these resources now that we have. And the market was different and the work environment was different. Things were just so different. So I don't necessarily think, we could have had all the advantages at 20 just yet, but you're right. Being a bit smarter and more empowered. I'm going to share a story real quick. Just because it's around finances. I was talking to this guy, / dating this guy, / doing things with this guy. So I felt deeply, deeply connected to this man. And he was a little bit older than me. And he would talk to me about these things, you know, finances and what am I doing with my money? And so I felt very open. He never asked me for anything. He always gave. And one day, like I had a direct deposit that came to my account and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I just randomly had $1,000. It probably wasn't random. I probably had like, it was a tax return or something. I don't know. This is how clueless I was like just being. And I talked to him about it and he was like, oh, well you should invest it. And I said, oh, okay. That's a good idea. And he said, you know what? Let me invest it for you. And I did not feel empowered enough to be like, you know what? Or knowledgeable enough. I didn't feel like I knew enough to do that. So I literally just gave this man $1,000. Do you think it grew? It probably got spent because I've never seen it back. We didn't stay together. And even to this day at 38, I was 20 something. Even to this day at 38, I'm just like, why the fuck would I give someone $1,000? What I wouldn't give for $1,000 right now? But that was low self-worth, low self-esteem, not believing in myself, not feeling like I you know, had enough information or the know-how or even the drive to like go and talk to somebody. $1,000, I think I was like 22 maybe. And I'm like, I just handed it. And when I think about that, I'm like, I did a lot. It might not have been monetarily, but I did a lot of that in my life, just handing myself away in different areas, you know, to jobs or to family or just whatever, not having those boundaries. Because if I had those boundaries, I wouldn't have done that. But yeah, so short story, don't give me $1,000.
And I identify so much with what you just said of like giving parts of myself away. And it's different, right? Being this age, we're saying like we feel more solid. And that's like the opposite of that, right? It's like really knowing what your boundaries are and knowing your worth. And not like, oh, I'm going to make this much money, but just knowing that you have intrinsic worth and building confidence too through different skills and things like that. Like, yeah, it's very different. And I don't wish to ever go back to like being that age and feeling that way, because it feels powerless a lot of times. And there's no need to feel that way. No. You know?
And for me, it's not like my mom didn't try. She tried to get us to save and, you know, be smart with our money, but she just wasn't the best teacher. It was always a suggestion, and it never really broke down. And honestly, like, there were times where we didn't really have money either, so it's hard for someone who is in that space to like really teach wealth, you know.
Totally. I don't blame my parents whatsoever. It's just like, if I could go back in time with a time machine, I'd be like, do this.
Invest that money in
Apple and Amazon.
I mean, Lauren, I was working since I was 12.
Yeah, same.
I had my first job at 12 in Japan, mm-hmm. working on Air Force Base under the table. I was getting cash, but I was a babysitter. When I went back at 13, I was an assistant to the assistant, and I was making money every single week. I came back and I was working at, I'm dating myself, at Hex. Do you remember Hex? Which is now Macy's. It might have been different where you're mm-hmm. part of the world, but yeah, and then just so on and so on. I've always worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, our society does a really good job at telling us to work. That's your worth. That's, you know, how you're making a difference in the society. And that's just simply not true. If I would have like put the money that I made then in something, I would not be working as hard
right
now, you know?
I know. If only.
If only. Well, our kids are going to be better for it, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll go to my fourth one.
Okay.
Okay. So I have two more and I'm trying to figure out which one. Yeah, I'll go to my number four. It's okay to be vulnerable with the right people. So for me, I have always been a pretty open person, but because I never really took the time to feel people out, I was always giving my energy away. Does that make sense? I was, and not necessarily like vulnerability, I guess, but be a little bit more protective with who you're giving your energy to is really what that should read. And I wasn't. And I think that also when we are open to people and or establishments, like even thinking about like a job, I've been in jobs where I just did not, it just didn't feel good. And, you know, your soul, I think, kind of tries to tell you things, like you get sick maybe a little bit more often or whatever the case may be. But it's one, it's okay to be vulnerable with the right people, but also protect your energy when you are have the right people, find the right circles. You don't always have to be so, for me, I was very trusting. Oh God. I mean, I literally just told you I gave $1,000 away. I was so trusting, and not saying that I have to have a barrier, but just be more mindful and I think a lot of that comes from what you were talking about, the self-worth, the confidence, and my abilities to like really read people, to know who people are, to see when people are just out to get something. God, I got all the time. I was that person. All the time. I mean, there were some really amazing people in my life. Obviously, I have like some really lifelong friends, but just when I think about like what I allowed to happen with myself. So as I got older, I came a little bit more guarded. It's only now that I'm just like, you know, I don't have to be guarded. I just have to have the right people in my circle. And I think really feeling into people's energy has helped me with that. And I know people are like, what do you mean, you know, feeling into people's energy? But it's a thing. Like, Lauren, when you and I met for the first time, I think we were like, if we don't vibe, like, I don't think this is going to work. You know what I mean? But it worked and we felt really good together. So.
Yeah, I love that. It reminds me of some advice I got a long time ago from like a teacher. And she was like, you really need to surround yourself with people who see the best in you. Like see the best in you and want the best for you. You know? Mm-hmm. And those are the people who deserve to get all of you. You know what I mean?
Yes. And that takes a little time too.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
I think, and this wasn't part of like my five things, but I think this goes into this. I think I was afraid to just be alone a lot. And so I just accepted. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I get that. That's kind of one of the things I was getting at when I said no one can decide your worth or validate you. That fear of being alone is part of that of like, oh, I need somebody to come in and like, tell me they love me or tell me that they want to be with me or this or that. And that will mean that I'm enough.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And I often didn't feel safe being vulnerable with a lot of people. Like I'd be vulnerable with friends I felt safe with and comfortable with, but I don't know. I didn't think that I was enough for so long that I felt like I needed to present in a different way than probably what was truest to me. So
I think for me, that was the opposite, Lauren.
Really?
In my, like growing up, I was told like, you need to act the part, look the part, be the part because you're a black female and no one gives a shit.
Right.
You need to fit in. You need to fit in and you need to be about something.
For me, I was kind of like criticized for being wholesome and a good girl and like, look, I know I like look that way too. First, I don't know what it is about me, but people just like think I look wholesome. Like, I don't know. I look like the type of person who could be taken advantage of really easily. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, especially when I was younger, I guess. Like I'd have people tell me stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. So it made me want to like smoke cigarettes and get tattoos and like get piercings and put colors in my hair just to kind of like create kind of a don't F with me.
Yeah, I see that.
Boundary, you know, but it also wasn't fully who I am. Like I look wholesome and I am wholesome and that's fine, but that still doesn't mean you can fuck with me, you know.
Exactly. I mean, I like you. Yeah. I would never be like, you look like a bitch, but I don't think you look like somebody could take it. But that's probably just because I really know you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm also older now and you know I've learned a lot of lessons, but yeah, I feel like I don't know why I just put off that vibe. And I would like to like surprise people with subversiveness in a way of like, no, I smoke weed and do this and that. Like, you know, I'm not who you think I am. I don't really care.
Yeah, right? We don't care at this point anymore.
Yeah.
That's like a very negative thing though. Like,
yeah.
But it's not. Like being wholesome is great. Like why does that have to be like this goody two shoe, like take it and take advantage of, easy to get, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I looked wholesome, but I got a lot. I also didn't really have like high self-esteem as well. So that plays a part, but I totally get that, you know, putting on that mask and that facade to like protect yourself. And I think when we do that for so long, we kind of like lose ourselves to that mask. Like it becomes who we think we really are, and breaking that down, taking it off is just like peeling, you know, tape off of our face almost. Yeah. It's painful. Yeah. It hurts. You're scared. You're vulnerable. You're a bit raw. But taking now at this age, like, fuck the mask. We don't fucking care at this point anymore.
No. Also, like, I've learned I can be wholesome and be a total weirdo at the same time. And, like, yeah. And enjoy pleasures in life. You know, there's no like box that anyone has to fit in.
I was literally thinking that. You're not in a box. And, you don't have to be in a box. Yeah.
There's like labels are stupid, right? Like they don't really.
But that's how things are in high school, right? In middle school. Like we feel like we have to label things and our caregivers don't do us any favors because they feed into that too. Of labeling of these different things. I don't think I had one teacher who I loved in high school. He was an English teacher, Mr. McLaughlin, and he just like rocked my world on how to look at things in high school. He was not in that typical mold of teacher for me anyway. And so I also think like when we step into our spaces and we get to this point in our life where I'm not going to say we're going to always have it figured out because that's a lie. If anyone tells you they all have it all figured out, then what the fuck is the point of living? You don't always have it figured out, but that's the beauty of life. But when you get to this place where you have that a bit of confidence, you have that self-worth, you have that respect for yourself, like pass that on. Speak life and wisdom into those younger in the community because I think it's so important. And it just takes one person, I feel like, to really like change this narrative that society wants to keep us on. Anyway, I can go.
No, I love that you're saying that. Before I go get to my last one real quick, I'll just say that I had the opportunity a while back, maybe a couple months ago, to teach yoga to a group of teenage girls from local Catholic school. It was like part of their winter break. It was like an elective that some of them chose to do. And I like really sat down and thought about what I wanted to teach, you know, and I was like, I don't want to like sit there and just give a talk, you know, but I want to like take a minute before we get into the class just to like share with them why I felt really honored, you know, to have them in front of me and where I was when I was their age. So I like shared with them about my eating disorder and how I felt at that age. And I was just like, you know what, there's no, if there's so much pressure at this point in your life and just know that a lot of it doesn't actually matter. I didn't say it exactly like that, but it was something I really deeply wanted to share. And I had a couple of them come up to me afterward and just be like, wow, thank you so much for saying that. Like one of them had just gotten out of the hospital for her eating disorder. And, you know, I just feel like having some adults who can come in with some wisdom and like take some of the pressure off is really important. And it's like, it's not like, okay, go ahead and F off or whatever, even though that might be part of it. But it's like, no, you don't if you don't know what your career is going to be yet, great. Who cares? Like, your job right now is to figure out who you are, not really what you do.
Yeah. And you know, like, I feel like some people forget that even if these young adults, young teenagers, young children are not yours per se, like, you still have a duty and obligation as part of being in the society to speak life into them. And I think it's really awesome. I took, I shared with you this already, but real quick, we did an inner child healing session this past Sunday, and she talked about the four different needs that children need from 0 to 18. And what you did, Lauren, speaks to that attention aspect, I want to say, and the approval aspect. Kids want to be seen and heard and understood, or else they're going to seek this external validation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of us didn't get those needs met, but when we are aware of that and we could speak life back into that, we are going to have the adults that come up behind us because that's what we're creating. Like we're not just in it for ourselves to be old and have this life, this great spiritual life. No, we're here to like create that world. And that's what we have to do. That's why we're doing the quote unquote work, right? But go ahead. What's your fifth one?
My fifth one. I mean, there are so many things that I would say, you know, but
we got another birthday next year.
Yeah, we do. it's simple. It's travel. You know, and if I was going to like blow all my money back then, like put it toward that, you know, to me, that's had, besides like the time that I've devoted into my mind, body and spirit, you know, like travel is what I've got the biggest ROI on in my life, return on investment, like, you know, travel with curiosity and just see the world. To me, that has like totally changed my life in so many beautiful ways. And it's taught me lessons that I wouldn't have learned otherwise. And it's just such a beautiful thing to like see the world and see how other people are living. It's going to open the mind up. It's going to toughen you up in a way and like make you a more resilient person. And I think also a more compassionate person. You know, I think it's easy. It's easy. Like I see it a lot because I live in the Midwest and the US. There are people who never go anywhere. And I understand there are people who can't, but like, there are people who can and they don't. And it really can close people's minds. And they forget that what they see and feel and know isn't all there is. And the beautiful thing about travel is you see the diversity of the world. You see how different it is everywhere. But I think the same conclusion everyone always comes back to is like, we're all the same also. Is real connective like that. Yeah. You know, we're all the same. We care about the same things when it really comes down to it.
The adornment is just different.
Yeah, for sure.
I really love that. I feel really blessed that I grew up traveling. My grandmother on my mom's side, she was very adamant about traveling. There is just something about it that she wanted to make sure her grandchildren knew. So she would be the one that would take us on trips. I mean, I went on a lot when I was younger, but my 16th birthday, she asked me, what do you want to do for your 16th birthday? And I think I was learning about French history at the time. I'm like, I want to go to the Palace of Versailles. And we went to France, you know, and even in my 20s, I would either travel by myself or I would have a travel buddy. Shout out to my friend Ryan, who was my travel buddy. And we did cruises together. We did different places together. But it does. It takes you outside of your comfort zone, for one, especially if you're traveling in a different country and they speak a different language, because not everyone speaks English. And that in itself is a challenge and a barrier. It makes you want to be like, how can I connect with these people? It was really sweet, Lauren. I just have to share this real quick. Maciana asked me, she's like, Mommy, if people speak Spanish, do they speak English too? And I said, no, baby, not everybody. And then she's like, well, then how do we talk? And I reminded her, I was like, you remember Abuela that we met at Origins retreat, and she did your massage for you, and you knew what she was saying without her having to like say it in English. And she was like, oh yeah. And it's just things like that. Like, it teaches you these life skills. Like, even at the age of 5, you know, Maciana's learning to communicate without not communicating in like the same language. So I agree with you, Lauren. I think this is a really, really, really a big one. One, because it allows us to, you said, step out of our side of our comfort zones, but it allows us to see the world that it really is. You know, if I stayed in this small town of Orange, I would think that everything is like Orange. I would not be very worldly. I would think my opinions are exactly what they are. I think that's how we get like really stubborn people, people that are not open to one change or to seeing like things that are not just black and white. So that is huge. If you can, and start small. And honestly, I hope Maciana is like, Mommy, I'm not ready to go to college. And I'll be like, baby, great, because I put this money aside for you specifically for traveling. I want you to take a year and I want you to go. And, you know, I hope at when she's 18 that the world is, you know, okay for her to do that. Still, I believe that it will be. But you find yourself. you're staying in hostels and you're meeting different people and you're just learning about their lives. You learn these skills that you just don't get in a formal setting like a classroom. Even going to college, you just don't get it because it's still a contained space. And life isn't a contained space.
No. Yeah. I love that. I think about Gemma. She's played with kids all over the world now. Not all over, but like she's played with kids in Sicily and Greece and Costa Rica. And then, you know, at airports and then people who live in the U.S. too. But like they don't speak the same language and they just play.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's beautiful.
I love that for her that she's, you know, she might not totally understand the experience just yet, but it's going to be a part of who she is, just like it was a part of who you are. What's your last one?
Okay, my last one, and we can wrap this up. I said, your fulfillment comes from within. Mm-hmm. Sit with yourself and answer the question, who are you? This is the most important advice I can give you. And that's what I said to my 20-year-old self, because I know part of us in this journey, we're learning who we are. And so we're seeking these things outside of ourselves to fill our cups up, to like sustain us, to like make us who we are. We're putting on these different hats to try to find like our identity. But knowing that my fulfillment comes from within me, my only job at this stage is to, you know, figure out who I am. It takes the pressure off for me. And I think, you know, that's one of the biggest, deepest things that I could have told myself at 20. Would I have been open to hearing it? I don't know. But now at 38, it's just like, find out who are you? Because when we went through training together, Lauren, and they were asking us questions like that, I was still struggling to like figure out who am I? Like not my titles, but who is Rashida? Because I never thought about it.
I think that's like number one. I think I spoke to that when I was talking about teaching the teenage girls of just like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to know what you want to do, but you need to know who you are, you know, and that's especially at that age, it's a process of discovery because you've been told from a lot of different angles who you are your whole life. So really, I think like whether it's travel, you know, there are so many different ways to like get out of your comfort zone. Because when you're out of your comfort zone, who you are really shows up.
Yes. Because it's not so easy to like just join a bandwagon and pretend to be someone you're not. Like you figure out who you are real quick.
Yeah.
Or you're you don't put yourself in the safest positions, honestly, if you don't.
Yeah. When I say out of your comfort zone as a young person too, I don't mean like doing something dangerous. I just mean like doing not something that's going rush. I just mean something that's going to help you grow, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we always know what those things are deep inside, but we don't do them a lot of times because it's scary and uncomfortable. But it's like leaning into that because that's when we see what we're made of, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when we build our character too, because we might have that soul within or that innate self-worth. But also like your character and your experiences and your wisdom are who you are too.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, what are you building right now?
And I do like that better.
So
because
I love that.
We're an ever-changing process. Yeah. You know what, Lauren, this was such a great idea. Happy birthday to you.
You too.
Friend.
And there's part of me that wishes like I could just hear myself in 20 years and then 40 years get all the advice, you know. How amazing would that be? Or maybe it'd be a fun thing to like sit and meditate with and try to channel or something. Is this like
your
older wiser self?
Yes. I mean, hey, when you think about time and all the things, like it's possible.
Yeah.
I would love, I know we are at the end here, besties. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. I think it's important to like sit and think and reflect about things like this and be pleasantly surprised like what comes through. But we would love to know, for this episode, please share on social what your top five are. What would you tell your 20-year-old self. We would love to know if you had any similarities or huge differences, depending on where you were at 20.
Yeah, I'd love to know that too. And I don't think it's a futile exercise, because it's like, obviously we can't go back. You know, things happen the way that they needed to, I think. But it still feels good to like really draw on your own wisdom in a way and be like, wow, I've learned a lot of things, you know? And like, if you are somebody with kids, this is what I'm going to do differently, or this is what I'm going to be intentional about, you know? So speaking of kids, mine is shushing me right now. So I think it's time to go,
mama.
Yeah, I didn't tell the besties, but I had no voice over the weekend. That's why I sound a little weird right now. It's just coming back. But I think she's probably getting used to me not having a voice and enjoying it.
Mama can't tell me what to do. I think I like that. Well, yeah. I'm so glad you got your voice back. I'm so glad we got to do this exercise together. And you're right, it's not futile. It's just a great reflection tool. And you're right, mm-hmm. It's just to kind of see, when we do this in 10 years, it's going to be something completely different.
Yeah, exactly. I also want to say, like, you know, part of you're in your wise woman era this year, which I love. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't get wisdom without effing up a bunch. So
did I F up a bunch. Now you're gonna, you need to call me out, Rashida. You literally gave $1,000 away. What?
Oh my God. I've done so many stupid things that like, it's fine. It only makes us, if we learn the lesson from it, it makes us wiser. Yeah, right?
Exactly. So, back to, you know, everything happens for a reason. So,
absolutely.
All right, besties, thank you so much for being here. We love you. Share with us your top 5 things you would say to your 20-year-old self on Instagram. I will be there to comment. Lauren is taking a little Insta break this month for her birthday and creating space for herself, which is amazing. Let us know and we will chat with you soon.
Out.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.